Chapter 29, Religious Relativism or Jesus Didn't Really Mean That. Opening questions. Is it possible that the authors of the four gospel books accurately recorded the words, deeds, and life of Joshua of Nazareth? Is it possible that human beings have not changed very much over the past several millennia, meaning our nature and our problems regarding human relationships have not changed? If someone said 2,000 years ago, quote, lying for selfish purposes is wrong, unquote, why would that ethical principle be invalid today? If relatively simple human relationship concepts are translated accurately from one language to another, why would anything about those concepts change over time? Is it possible that a perfect ethic for humans was communicated a long time ago and given and written down, and that same ethic is perfectly relevant for human beings today and in the future? This content could be placed in the prior chapter on complexity, since it is effective due to the complex arguments of those who practice it. Religious relativism is the primary tool that the religious leaders use to nullify the truths of the light of the world. Like its sister, pure ethical relativism, religious relativism seeks to destroy the possibility that ideas, concepts, truths communicated in times past can be binding or relevant today. Its purpose is to destroy the truth that almost all of Joshua of Nazareth's sayings regarding human relationships or what is valuable in human life apply in all times and in all cultures. This form of a religious relativism is communicated probably millions of times in various forms each time the religious leaders get on their stages and read the words of Joshua of Nazareth in the four Gospels. Its basic purpose is to use complexity to convey that only the religious leaders through their religious education have the ability to properly understand, quote, what Jesus was really saying, unquote. Essentially, they say, you can't really understand that teaching or principle properly unless you have our education, and thus you can understand the culture in which it was said or in which it happened, unquote. Like most clever deceptions, this philosophy has merit, but only when applied to non-relational or non-ethical concepts that Joshua taught. In other words, if the text says something like, quote, and there were 12 stone jars that were used at the wedding feast, unquote, that statement might well benefit from some understanding of the wedding ceremonies at the time to get a fuller understanding about the purpose of the 12 jars, although I would argue that trying to gain such knowledge is a silly waste of time. However, when Joshua of Nazareth gave principles that apply to human relationships or what is truly valuable in human life, those principles are not subject to some kind of cultural relativism, since human beings have not changed, nor has God changed his mind. So, for example, please consider this saying, quote, do not think I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his household. He who loves father or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Unquote. That's Joshua in Matthew chapter 10. The religious leaders, not willing to comply with this teaching themselves, and knowing that they would be very unpopular for conveying the simple truth of his saying, resort to cultural relativism to nullify the light's teaching. They will say something like, oh, you have to understand the culture in Judea at that time to understand why that saying does not apply to us today, unquote. The other way the religious leaders nullify sayings of the light is to use good old complexity by using some version of this, quote, you really need to understand the original language of Hebrew, Greek, or Aramaic to truly understand what Jesus is saying here, unquote. So, for example, in the above case, they might pick a few words like sword, set, against, enemies, or household, and then, quote, dive into the true meaning of the Greek, Aramaic, or Hebrew in order to nullify the plain meaning of the saying. When they are done, they have redefined important terms to fit what they want to believe. They hide in the letter to avoid the spirit, just like their lawyer brethren. It is rather amazing how the average religious leader, who has merely an introductory knowledge of those languages, if even that, all of a sudden becomes a Hebrew, Greek, or Aramaic language expert, surpassing the teams of experienced language scholars who translated into English the Bible version they are reading. However, this use of complexity is extremely effective, so they use it, and the average person sitting in the pew is only too glad that Jesus didn't really mean, for example, quote, love your enemies, unquote, or quote, love your enemies, meaning those enemies, unquote, or quote, love each other means we actually share our lives together, unquote, or quote, you cannot serve God and money, unquote. So, no questions are asked, everyone is happy, the people have their religious leaders telling them they're okay with God and they can remain in their selfish death style. And the religious leaders has his money or her money, her paying vacation or vocation or career and people admiring him or her. As I acceded, having some understanding of a past culture might be helpful in understanding issues that don't address human ethics or relationship or what is valuable in human life, like how governments work or why wedding ceremonies were held a certain way. However, when you get a teaching that deals with human relationships or ethics or what is valuable, for example, the extremely important principle that Joshua gave of love your enemy or honor your dad and your mom, cultural understanding or original language clarification is not needed to understand what was being communicated. Human relationship and value principles are timeless as given by Joshua of Nazareth. God was not confused about what is valuable in human life or how people ought to behave towards one another. God has not changed, nor have we human beings. People are the same in every time and in every culture, and approved or disapproved human behavior has been given by God through the light, and those principles do not change with time or culture. So, we have seen a few of the means that religious leaders use in order to get people dependent upon them, and thus not dependent on Joshua. In the next three chapters, we will look at how foolish it is for religious people like Christians to spend so much time on trying to find God's will for their lives. Chapter summary. Religious relativism is the belief promoted by many Christian leaders that virtually all of the teachings of Joshua of Nazareth cannot be easily understood or, quote, taken at face value, quote, due to the different cultures in which Joshua lived at the time the Gospels were written. Religious relativism says that most things that a person said who existed in the distant past cannot apply to people today, since ethical truth is relative and depends upon the culture in which it is believed, practiced, or understood. Religious relativism is a primary way the Christian clergy keeps people dependent upon them and their Christ. This provides the Christian clergy with a career or job or means of income and or material support in this life. The lay people, unquote, are taught that they need the religious leaders for the, quote, correct interpretation, unquote. Religious leaders claiming to be original language experts is another method they use to keep the people dependent upon them. The simple truth is that all of the ethical teachings and value teachings of Joshua of Nazareth apply to humans of all times and cultures. Furthermore, all of the teachings of Joshua of Nazareth regarding God, the one whom he calls, quote, my Father in heaven, unquote, are timeless and accomplished their purpose of revealing God the Creator to all generations of humans on this earth.